roles here. I'm responsible for marketing for the company, and we have a pretty significant investment and focus on ensuring that the developer community is supported, and hence TAG runs that initiative for us. So that's kind of between two of us, those are our roles. Redis today is, an almost eight and a half year old technology that started out as a remote directory service. And that was the original intent that Salvatore had for the technology. Today, Redis has become what we are calling a multimodal, full-fledged data store that has been historically perceived to be a cache and a key value store. But that is a more of a legacy and a misperception. The reality is that Redis today is applied as a full, full-on database that not only supports key value, but this construct of data store gives it the most flexibility of any database. The power of NoSQL, so it's schemaless, of course, on write and gives you the flexibility on read. But more importantly, the efficiency that comes from these prepackaged operations, which are within these data structures, strings, hashes, sorted sets, and so on, gives the developer a time to market that eclipses anything else that's out there. Instead of having to conjure up the code right from scratch, they have many of these building blocks that can work in conjunction with each other, giving it a very, very complex implementation in a simplistic manner. So that flexibility gives it time to market. But the second piece, because they're written in C, C++, what you get with it is significant performance. We have demonstrated and benchmarked, very easily in a million plus, but at the high end, 2.5 million operations per second with sub-millisecond latency. And not only is it performance, but it's performance in a very efficient manner. So some of the testing we have done, we've delivered, 300,000-400,000 operations per second on a two-node footprint, as opposed to having to need 50 on an alternate or a 300 on our data stacks environment. So it's very fast, quick time to market, requires very, very limited kind of the underlying infrastructure, so it's very efficient. So combination of those things has made Redis incredibly powerful and popular. I don't know if you saw, but one of the recent surveys done by Stack Overflow, it came up as the most loved database, 64,000 respondents to that survey. So we don't take all the credit for it, but we take some credit as a company behind Redis. Let me pause there and see if you have any questions on that.
Yeah, because I am one of these people that has generally thought of Redis as the key value store, because that's where I've seen it used. So I'm just trying to find a little bit more explanation on in your documentation. I haven't quite found it yet. So maybe you could just explain a little bit more about what you said and meant in how you can use Redis as a more conventional database. You mentioned something that I just wouldn't mind unpacking in a bit more detail.
All right. We can talk about data structures, and that might be a way to talk about kind of where it differentiates itself.
Yeah. So one of the big things you get with Redis that you don't see in other databases is a variety of data structures and many familiar data structures like strings, sets, sorted sets, lists, bitmaps, all of that. And you can combine those things in various different ways to support a variety of different use cases. So it really goes quite far beyond the key value paradigm that most people are familiar with.
So
there are also...
Sorry, carry on. Yep.
Yeah. There's also a lot of support for geospatial data. So if you're building location-sensitive apps. And then there's also a subsystem that supports publish and subscribe for interconnecting apps within your system.
Okay. Well, that's certainly probably a useful feature in a lot of the kind of more modern web applications, I guess. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm still just trying to understand quite what these data structures are. So can I think of them as fields or like views or a combination of those two or something else? Or
I would think of them as something else entirely.
Okay.
It's really, it really is like having, you know, a set of items in your database rather than a table, or a list of things. And instead of it being local to one system, it's actually shared amongst all of the nodes in your system.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Cool. And so you are the original company that created Redis in the first place as well, or were there someone else involved in the past and it passed to the company? Or
I'll give you a bit of a history. So the creator of Redis, which was an open source project, is Salvatore Sanfilippo. And he started this project that was originally sponsored by Pivotal. And about 5 years ago, Redis Labs was founded as an independent company with the intention of offering Redis as a service, a database as a service. And shortly after that, Salvatore Sanfilippo joined Redis Labs. He's our lead contributor on the open source projects. And the company has now really become what we call ourselves the home of Redis, the largest contributor to open source, the largest investor. We have a dedicated development arm specifically for open source and so on. And our offerings, certainly we support the open source, but we have also in parallel developed what we call Redis Enterprise. And the idea is that from an application architecture standpoint, you need to pick a data store, and Redis is a great data store. But if you're trying to deploy it in a mission-critical, highly distributed enterprise application, then you may consider the Redis Enterprise version, which has the capabilities and architecture to support distributed clustering. It has high availability built into it, zero data loss, what we call seamless scaling, not only scale out, but also scale out. And so many attributes that would be, you know, foundational to a mission-critical scaled deployment. Those are the things we have architected into and above basic data structures of Redis. And we monetize that aspect of our business.
And so in my mind, this sounds like a moderately sort of typical kind of monetization of open source, a core open source project that anyone can use, but if you want to scale it and get support and a certain other kind of features that you need at a certain scale of project, then you go for the enterprise solution. The kind of reasonably...
Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost right, with one caveat. So we have very specifically and deliberately decided not to follow the Red Hat model.
Okay.
If somebody was, because, you know, as we all know, monetizing open source projects has been, you know, it's almost yet to be proven. Mm. Red Hat has done that in the context of offering support and services on top of open source platform. We think that model is not necessarily a model that can be replicated for the new projects on open source.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and hence, if somebody comes to us and say we're using open source, will you offer support? Our answer is no.
Okay.
Our intention is to really propagate the technology with the investment in open source and with folks like TAG providing support to the community. However, the product itself that we commercialize is really a distinct product,
okay,
which is Redis Enterprise, and support comes with that, certainly.
Okay. And, I mean, I could see you estimate probably at least half a dozen thousand paying customers, so or maybe slightly less. I'm not 100% sure. I'm going on some older figures here, so...
I'll give you the latest figures. So, as I mentioned, we have both database as a service as well as an on-premises software offering. And in fact, we have been very careful to ensure that the deployment models are really available. All models are available to the customer, so they can do a fully managed multi-tenanted service on a public cloud. They can do a dedicated Redis, what we call Redis Cloud Private, which is in their own virtual private cloud. They can do the software and manage it themselves on-premise, or they can have the software on-premise and we can manage it for them, right? So we give them all options. We have today a freemium model on the service, 65,000 registered account, of which 7,100 are paying customers. And for the on-premises software, we have 200 customers on the on-premises software.
Okay, that seems a reasonable kind of split, I suppose. Maybe just before I continue, just to clarify to anyone who isn't entirely clear, what's the difference between Redis and Memcached?
Memcached was the original caching engine, right? And Redis, you know, in the context of caching, people kind of think of both of them. But Memcached is really, you know, what we consider, we offer, but we consider it as a dying breed that's taken over by Redis and Redis Enterprise.
Just looking down the timeline of kind of announcements, about a year ago, you announced a way for developers to extend Redis, a kind of marketplace, if you like. So how does that work, and how can developers get involved, and what sorts of modules have people created so far?
Yeah, very, very good. You know, that announcement was at RedisConf, which is the annual event, and it's coming up at the end of this month, actually, in San Francisco. We had 650 people attendees last year. We expect about 1,000 this year. The big announcement at RedisConf 2016 was modules, which was really a simple API that allowed for functionality that has already been developed to be ported onto the Redis data structures, such that you could take advantage of the core architecture and performance of the structures without necessarily having to customize or develop specifically for Redis. And I'll give you some examples. So for example, full text search, you know, companies like Elasticsearch and Solr and others have been around for some time. What we did was, within a matter of 3 months, we took a Lucene-based search engine, ported it onto Redis, onto this API, and now we have the world's fastest full-text search engine that significantly exceeds the performance of Elasticsearch. And the idea is quick time to market and to deliver the performance and simplicity that Redis is known for, but not necessarily to go and offer a full suite of features on every single functionality. One could, but that's really not the intent. It's a way of saying, you know, here you have a platform that's simple, extensible, and very, very powerful. And if you have developed a functionality you would like to, you know, improve on, you can port it onto the Redis data structures. And that's the intent of the Redis modules. And today, and between what we have done as Redis Labs and what the community has done, there are over 40 open source modules ranging from probabilistic data structures to search to graph to JSON and many more that are available on GitHub. You can go in and download.
And are they written in C generally, or can they be written in a multitude of different languages? Or
so the idea is to be extensible for multiple languages. You know, at the get-go, it is really restricted to C, C++, but the intention is to extend it to Java and Go. It supports Go. Mm-hmm. And to extend it to Java as well.
We provide a C developer kit for anyone who wants to extend and build their own module.
Yeah. Okay. Now, interestingly, I just got back tonight from a Docker meetup here in Berlin, actually. Docker has been something I've always been interested in, and one of the little nuggets that sort of popped up on your site whilst I was just doing some research was you say, according to a report from Datadog, that you are the number one database on Docker. I think that the list that you're referring to wasn't necessarily in any particular order, but anyway, we'll go with it. But the interesting thing here, I kind of look down this list, and there's you, there's Postgres, there's MySQL, and there's Mongo. So it's all of the top 10 images for Docker are, there's quite a few databases in there. I mean,
well, if you go to Docker Hub,
yeah, no,
you will see.
I'm not arguing about the number. I'm just interested to see kind of that databases on Docker is obviously something that people find very important. And I actually, a couple of years ago, I spent some time working for a very small database company who built a solution for Docker. And it was always a challenge because of the kind of the ethereal nature of containers and the distributed nature of containers. So I guess, what were some of the challenges that you found in getting Redis to work on something like Docker, or was the nature of Redis meant that it always was reasonably straightforward to do that? Or
yeah, it is. The reason why there are 240 pulls on Docker Hub of Redis versus I think the next one is 80 million or something, is it's not because we have gone out and optimized. Now, we've done certain things, which we'll talk about on Redis Enterprise, to make it, to ensure that in a highly distributed environment, it continues to get the benefit of what we've done on the high availability side and so on. But fundamentally, Redis has its own container-like architecture that fits very neatly into the microservices world, and which is why it was very, very easy for it to fit into what Docker has done and became so popular. So it wasn't that Redis was optimized for the container world. I think Redis was always naturally built that it fit in well.
Yeah, and I mean, even outside of the container world, I'm sort of, again, looking at some statistics linked from your site, and you even come in at number two in the kind of general or / conventional, whatever you want to call it, world, second to MySQL, I guess, which, you know, has been around a fair bit longer.
Just a little bit longer.
Yeah. And then some would say it's been sticking around a bit too long as well, but that's a whole other conversation. So, I mean, one of the things I remember from my experiments, traditionally more maybe a year or so ago when I was doing more development work, but with Redis, was that it was traditionally an in-memory database. And is that one of the reasons you think you managed to get that performance, or has maybe that, were you just one of the first to be possible to be run in memory? And now, I guess, with a lot of the modern server infrastructures, the ability to run more things in memory is there anyway, but you were one of the first to do it, or is this still a unique selling point that you have?
Everything you said is accurate, actually, except for we were not necessarily the very first company. Long time ago, Oracle acquired a company called Times 10. And I think they might have been the first, if not among the very first, to do in-memory, right? However, when you combine the run everything in memory with what data structures bring as an extensibility and the ability to layer on the modules, now all of this becomes a super powerful combination. Not only is it fast because it's in memory, but because of this kind of really elegant footprint of the data structures and now the extensibility of modules, regardless of what your use case is. You can go down to hundreds of operations per second, and you can scale up to hundreds of thousands of operations per second. Redis is a great, and Redis Labs is a great back for that. But one very important announcement that we made also last year was having the ability to balance your workload between in-memory or between RAM and flash. And what we were finding was people, of course, enjoyed the performance of Redis in-memory, but were limiting what they could put in memory. Again, the economics were the reason why the cap on it was holding the usage back. So now what we've done is with RocksDB as our storage engine, we have optimized the performance even when you run on flash. And so you can put hot values and hotkeys, keys and hot values in RAM, and run the cold values on flash, giving you an optimization of the performance and the economics that your business case or the use case would allow for. And this has become a very, very powerful distinction. And this is only available on Redis Enterprise. This is not something that's available on the open source.
Just very quickly, kind of you in the middle of explaining there, you brought up use cases. So, I mean, as far as I can tell, just from memory and from reading now, that Redis is basically a NoSQL style database. So there's certain use cases that doesn't suit. So what would be classic use cases for Redis and classic use cases that are probably not suited to Redis?
Yes, the place where we find, and we've started to use the term kind of solutions / use case interchangeably, depending on the audience, but you know, the places where we find significant, I would say, this critical mass of deployments, e-commerce and classic transactions, right? That's one. Second is personalization, which comes in many different domains, whether you're trying to do a web experience personalization, whether you're trying to do personalization of, you know, in a gaming environment or whatever it might be. Social applications or collaborations, video chats, regular chats, and others, things like that. Fraud detection, that's become a very important piece. Metering of real-time traffic, and many, many use cases within the construct of IoT are important. But the common theme across these types of solution use cases is the need for real-time ingest of data, and in many cases, the need to have the analytics serve before you are allowed to do the transaction, or the need to do the transactions and then to run the analytics right in parallel. So a hybrid environment is very important. And that's where Redis and Redis Enterprise shines, is when you have got really critical, time-sensitive decisions to be made, either for transaction purposes or for analytics purposes or both. And that's where we tend to see the gravity. Now, if you're just doing things that are batch-oriented, you know, that require or have a very precise schema, then I don't think you would benefit much from running on Redis. You could, but you don't need the performance, nor do you need the flexibility. You know, you can probably run simpler in a SQL or relational environment.
So coming up in a couple of weeks, in fact, I was speaking to someone else last night. I do a lot of late night interviews, so sometimes they get a bit I sometimes need to remind myself who I was speaking to, but they were also
depends on if you're aided, if your conversation is aided by the right type of liquid diet.
I don't know. So you're having your user conference in a couple of weeks, and I'm pretty sure the people I spoke to yesterday were as well. The end of May, beginning of June seems to be like peak conference week. So how many times have you run this event?
So, you know, this is what we call the third year. There have been on and off events prior to that. The first year, 2015, we were not the host for it. It was hosted by Rackspace. We took it on last year, and we intend to continue going on from there. And this is our second year hosting the event.
And what can people expect? Is it mostly staff speaking, or is it also customers and kind of external developers and the community? What's the sort of form of the event?
So we've got over 50 sessions, and less than 10 of those, I think 8 of those sessions are actually from Redis Labs. You know, we go out of our way to make this a very, very community-oriented event, and it's intended to be 100% for developers. So the speakers, you know, we had call for papers, and we've got speakers from really any company you can think about. You know, if you've got 50, and I'll give you some examples. So we have Lyft, Netflix, Twitter, Yahoo, Capital One, Home Depot, OpenTable, Square, Google, Intel, Redfin. I mean, it's a pretty broad spectrum of folks that are speaking. These are all folks, either they have something unique they've developed with Redis, or they're using it in a scaled manner, are kind of the two buckets of things. Or perhaps they've developed a brand new module for Redis or on Redis, right? And that's the format of this. It's meant to be learn from each other, network with each other, And Redis Labs is essentially the host for the conference.
Okay, cool. I mean, in essence, Redis hasn't been around that long, really. 8 years It's sort of in the worlds of especially NoSQL databases, where especially last year it felt like someone was making a new one every month. It hasn't been so much this year. I think people have learned now to stop making databases. But in terms of that, 8 years seems like a longish time. So I would like to sort of ask two questions around that. One, what would you say has been your, in inverted commas, longevity? And number two, I guess, as the product develops and matures and probably is pretty mature already, how do you kind of continue to innovate and stay ahead of the competition?
I think the reason Redis has gotten the attention and has sustained its presence and has grown its presence, I think has got to do with the combination of the fact that it's really, really simple to use and it delivers a phenomenal performance. I think the combination of those two things makes it very easy for people to test it, try it, and when they see what they're able to get from it, they stick with it. And I think it might sound very big, but really that's at the heart of why Redis has been so successful. What we are trying to do with Redis Enterprise is say, great, not only can you try and benefit and test it out, but you can truly scale this for any mission critical environment. And I think that's where the penetration within the enterprise environment has become important, and the numbers I shared with you on 7,100 customers, it makes it real. As we look forward, the question you asked is exactly the question which we were grappling with almost 2 years ago, which is you've got lots of use-specific architectures and databases that are coming about, and how does Redis stand the test of time? And I think emerged from that conversation was this concept of modules, which is, if you fast forward an ideal scenario, which I don't think is realistic for any architecture or platform, an ideal scenario is a single platform does all data types, all models for implementation, gives you the ultimate flexibility, is really cheap, works in RAM and on other storage types. And all permutations to give you low-end performance and high-end. And that's what you want, right? If you're a CIO or a CTO or a CDO, your investment can be simplified. What we're trying to achieve with modules is saying, here's a platform that is simple, extensible, and highly performant. On this platform, you choose what you want to put on and use it for the things that you're really good at. And what it's not good at, continue to use whatever else you want, right? So flexibility is ultimately in the hands of the customer that's going to deploy and is going to benefit from. And we believe, that gives us the ability. So we introduced the machine learning module last year, or late last year, early this year. At this RedisConf, you're going to hear something very powerful, which is called Redis Stream. And Salvatore kind of had done some pre-announcement. But that's an example of innovating on the same platform and modules. So how do you remain competitive as you continue to serve the needs of the world as it's evolving? And so machine learning was a very powerful one. There was a module for deep learning, our neural networks that was done. The stream of the IoT module, I think, will be equally important. The graph module will be equally important. So we believe this modules architecture allows it to be kind of relevant going forward as opposed to just for today.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I think it seems that despite the fact that you've added the modules, the product always seems quite nicely focused. You sort of have a good core product and a good way of handling the bigger needs that people might have for that. But it's always kind of fairly clear what Redis is and what it does and how to use it and why you might want to use it. It's not something that tries to sort of just make everybody happy all the time and then end up not really making anybody happy most of the time.
It's very easy to get to that end point, right?
Yeah.
Because you're trying to serve a lot of needs, yeah.
And I guess that's kind of like, you know, I mean, obviously it's your own website claiming these things, but they all come from sort of reasonably reputable sources of always ranking higher, if not highest, in satisfaction and popularity surveys from developers and business. So I guess that's, you know, that's got to be the best indication of satisfaction from anywhere, really, especially if developers are happy, because they're usually a very much more skeptical, unsatisfied bunch.
Very skeptical.
I guess just to wrap up, is there anything else that you want to make sure is mentioned or to add that hasn't been covered?
I think we touched upon important things around modules, microservices / containers, and what's coming up is around Redis Stream. That's going to be a pretty hot topic, and we'll have a lot of details at the conference. The one thing which we haven't talked about, and it's really a deployment or an operational issue, which a lot of work has gone on, and you know, it will become more clear over the next few months, is, you know, people call it master-master or active-active, which is the ability to read in a highly distributed environment at any endpoint. Then the ability to read, write and read at any endpoint, right? And at the right level of what you might call consistency and durability. So you don't have, you know, just like a relational environment, which is, you know, consistent at all times, but you don't have the performance. What we are trying to accomplish is give you the performance, the flexibility, but also give you a tunable consistency so that the data is consistent regardless of where the endpoint might be in a distributed environment. And then to be able to tune that level of consistency to meet your use case and to ensure that the latencies in that environment are not going to disrupt the required consistency among data at different endpoints. So we are deploying something which we call, it's based on a well-known architecture or algorithm called CRDT. And this active-active, when fully baked and available in the next couple of months, will really change the dynamics of the NoSQL world, because it is not delivered the way we expect to deliver to the marketplace. And I think for many use cases that are highly mission-critical and sensitive to the consistency dimension, I think we'll find it to be highly, highly beneficial.
Excellent. I mean, it sounds like you've got an interesting month. I think early summer, there'll be a lot of new announcements to make Redis even more useful to people in different contexts. So sounds like a good time to have a conversation.